they're striking deals in South America and Africa to build oil refineries and take all the nickel and the gold and the silver and the platinum and all the rare earth metals, and they're doing that in Africa. And then they drain the exchanges. And after all of the stuff is nailed down, when no one is stupid enough to use the Western price to sell it, guess what? Bang, they're gonna switch to a new pricing mechanism in Shanghai or in Moscow or in Dubai. And it will be based upon real life prices, not manipulative prices that can be rehypothecated a million times over to create an illusion of dollar supremacy, when these commodities, which we're told gold and silver are commodities, they're not, they're wealth, but the rest of the things are. And I'll go back again to Zoltan Pozsar, who said this is Bretton Woods 3.
Hey guys, Sean from SGT Report. Thanks so much for coming on back to the show. That was Andy Scheckman, the president of Miles Franklin and a longtime friend of SGT Report. And as gold continues to hit new all-time highs in USD, silver is also finally starting to break out of its decades-long manipulation. Guys, we're in for a heck of a run as the fiat printing presses continue to go burr. Stay tuned. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. We've told you the truth about the destruction and the demise of the US dollar and its purchasing power on this channel for more than a decade. So how do you feel about leaving your money in the bank? Not great, right? It's losing value every single day because it's being debased. So if it's stressing you out, why not invest smarter with Noble Gold Investments? Precious metals are simple and real, tangible wealth. And by the way, gold just broke a new all-time high in USD. There isn't a company on the stock market that was around 2,000 years ago, but guess what? Gold was. It's a reliable, dependable, and authentic way to protect your wealth. That's why you can't go wrong with precious metals. They always have your back. Noble Gold Investments is the same. Their American-based experts will show you how to set and forget your IRA or 401k. Now, there's no guarantee of any kind with any investment, so do your own due diligence, but you'll get a dedicated professional assigned to you from Noble Gold. So no hassle, no call centers. This month, Noble Gold Investments is giving a free quarter ounce gold standard coin with every qualifying IRA investment. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to claim your gold coin. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Hey friends, welcome back. Thank you so very, very much for tuning in. It's Sean from SGT Report here. Guys, I'm absolutely psyched and delighted to have back on the line after far too many years one of the first sponsors SGT Report ever had, and that's Miles Franklin. The president of Miles Franklin is back, Andy Scheckman, and we have so much to talk about today as, guys, the wheels are literally coming off the bus. More on that in just one second. Andy, how are you, sir?
Dude, it's so good to hear your voice, Sean. It's great to be back, and thanks for having me, man. It has been too long, and I'm glad you're doing well, and I'm really psyched to be here.
Well, I really appreciate it, and as I said, you know, years ago, Miles Franklin, well, you sponsored an ad up there at SGT Report at the very top of the website. Now that's SD Bullion. I support all y'all. Anybody selling physical precious metals to the public to try to save the public from the death machine, really the central bank fiat printing press that's destroying our purchasing power and our way of lives. In our way of life, Andy, I'm all on board with you guys and what you're doing at Miles Franklin. And I got to tell you, let me show you this. Yields soar after catastrophic 10-year auction shocks with third biggest tail on record from Zero Hedge. Guys, the wheels on the bus are coming off, coming off, coming off. This is the end of empire. We are all living through it. And frankly, it's pretty darn scary. Obviously, some very bad news for Biden. Wall Street reacts to today's red hot inflation print. Andy, get this. Peter Schiff tweeted earlier today, and I think it's kind of amusing to talk about the post office and stamps. But the post office has jacked up the price of stamps from 68 to 73 cents just in 2024. And that's a 10.6% spike. But stamps are the least of our problems, my friend. People are having a hard time putting dinner on the table at night.
Yeah, it's very true. And inflation is here to stay. And Peter's been very accurate on his call of higher inflation and it not going away. And yeah, you know, not only that, the numbers that they tell us are so far off of what they really are, to that point of a 10% increase in the price of a stamp. And the problem is that the numbers that come out of the Bureau of Labor Statistics massively understate just how high inflation really is and are constantly being massaged and changed to support this inflationary agenda. And look, you know, to expect it to be any different, I think, is a mistake, because the Fed is in a very precarious position. They've painted themselves into a corner. If they do much with raising rates, you blow up the economy that's already on razor's edge. You know, look what happened when they got rates up near 5%. The banks started to fail on the 10-year, and there you go. But, you know, I think that they will do what they've always done, and that is choose inflation over austerity, over the tough decisions. And inflation is here to stay, I guess, is the bottom line, irregardless of the lying numbers that come out of the Bureau of Labor Statistics. If you go to shadowstats.com, you'll see that John Williams will tell you we're actually closer to that number of 10 or 11%. Just based upon the numbers that were used to gauge the CPI in 1980, 1990, before they were changed. So it's kind of interesting that they raise it 10%, and that's just about what John Williams would tell you inflation is at right now.
Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it might be worse than 10%. This from Zero Hedge, and I retweeted this earlier today. If you still don't have any physical gold, silver, or Bitcoin, what are you waiting for? Serfdom? Inflation, according to Zero Hedge, has not fallen in a single month since Biden's term began. The closest was July 2022, when it was unchanged, which leaves overall prices up 19% since Bidenomics was unleashed on the American people, and prices have never been higher. Andy, how in the world does this end? The wheels are coming off the bus. This is the end of empire. There's no unwinding this. There's no unwinding this. Where are they taking us? Right off a cliff?
Yeah, and you know, if you ask me, Sean, I believe this is all being done intentionally. And I've been saying this for quite some time right now. You know, it's very interesting that if you take a look at the lead economic advisor of the United States government, it's a man named Jared Bernstein. And Mr. Bernstein's thesis, well, by the way, Mr. Bernstein has a degree in music and a master's degree in social work, perfectly fit to be the lead economic advisor to the Biden administration. His thesis, which has been written about in a report he wrote called Dethrone King Dollar, was picked up in the New York Times in comments he made about Trump slapping tariffs on China, hoping we lose the reserve status. But his entire thesis is to lose the world reserve status. That is it is a privilege we can no longer afford. And when you take a look at what we've done outside the country first by weaponizing the dollar, and our brain dead, stupid Treasury Secretary in Brazil, of all places, a member of the BRICS, saying, yeah, you guys, we need to confiscate, not just sanction, but confiscate the Russian $380 billion in Forex reserves and use them to fund the Ukrainian war. That she has the gall to say this in Brazil, a charter member of the BRICS. So by weaponizing the dollar, and then by signing an executive order to go green when it is the relationship with Saudi Arabia, and by extension, the protection, thereby having OPEC price oil in dollars globally, but we're going green. So at least from the outside of the country, maybe the two dumbest things you could possibly do to retain the reserve status, but let's look on the inside. And on the inside, we have lawlessness in the cities. We have 12 million people that have entered illegally. We have a massive divisiveness, more than I can ever remember in my entire life, where you're defined by who you voted for in the last election. And God willing, we have an election in November. Half the country is going to be up in arms and pissed off to the nth degree. You have wokeness that I never thought would ever be part of this society, and censorship I don't have to tell you about, and all of the things that, you know, a Justice Department that, you know, people have tied together inner tubes and sailed with strings tied together from Cuba to find justice, to find liberty and freedom. And is our justice system really fair, or is it two-tiered? And are our elections really fair, or are they not? And all of these things that made the country so great, you have to wonder, is it too stupid to be stupid? Is this intended? And when you realize that the decisions, you know, look, if all that we have done was crap the bed the way that we did with the reserve currency and our weaponizing the dollar and our signing executive order to go green, but if we were still the envy of the world, of massively no question in the world about fair elections, and a blind justice department that assumes innocence before guilt, and a you know, a immigration system that allowed anyone who wanted to come and contribute to this country, not in Michigan saying death to America, or not in Idaho saying we're going to blow up a church and conspiring with ISIS, but anyone who wanted to come in here and do it the right way, you're welcome. And all of the things, lawlessness in the cities where cops are beat up in broad daylight in Times Square and then released the next day, or people are stealing anything that's not nailed down. Hey, as long as it's under $900, you're okay. Come back and do it again tomorrow. All of the things that we are seeing in this country that once made this country great, embracing religion, embracing the nuclear family, respecting authority, police officers, your teachers, your principals, all of this stuff, when you and I were kids growing up where we did, Sean, not too far from each other, that was just part of the fabric of this country. And it made everyone who grew up under that circumstance and that environment to feel really good about being an American. But you know what? You have to ask yourself, is that lost on the rest of the world? So when you look at weaponizing the dollar, signing executive order to go green, and then whitewashing our culture and destroying our way of life in this country, and letting 12 million people in here illegally, where if 1% is pissed off and wants to do something to this country, that's 120,000 people. 2% is a war, is an army, 240,000. And I don't have to keep doing math, but you can see. So when we talk about, are they taking us off a cliff? I mean, it almost seems as though they are. And when you look at the rationale, we are a country, I don't mean to answer so long, but just to put color here, we are a country, according to the 2022 balance sheet, that has $155 trillion in debt, $34 trillion now, plus the Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and government and military pensions. And it's interesting because as China and Russia and Iran and Saudi Arabia and all these countries shed bonds and buy gold instead, because gold can't be sanctioned or defaulted upon or confiscated from these countries, has no counterparty risk the way the bonds and the forex reserves do. And as they're breaking away from that, who's been buying all the bonds, at least the short-term bonds and treasuries, have been purchased by the hedge funds, the money markets, and the financial advisors, and us chasing yield, leaving the banks. So the Medicare, the Medicaid, the Social Security, the government military pensions, and a good portion of the bonds, a good portion of the debt is all owed to us. With $5 trillion in assets, according to the 2022 balance sheet, the largest being $1.6 trillion, or 40% of the assets in student debt. Right. As ridiculous as that sounds. So we're broke, we're insolvent, we've lost our bearing, and we've screwed the pooch outside the country. And the lead economic advisor wants that. So how does that happen? You know, because Sean, Richard Russell, my mentor, always said back when I first met you, way back when, long time ago, 15 plus years ago, that the Fed had two choices, to inflate or default, inflate or die. How about find a villain, number three, incentivize the world to dump the dollar as the petrodollar and give them every reason to do that because of our weaponization of the dollar and our intentions to go green. And now our confiscation of the assets, not just sanctioning. If you do what we don't like, I mean, heck, we can go invade Iraq, stay there for 20 years under false pretenses, say we were looking for weapons, didn't find them, you know, blow up their country, hold all of their oil revenue, sanction their banks, and there are no ramifications, right? So the world looks at us as hypocritical. But when we go around and do all of this stuff and incentivize the world to coalesce into the BRICS, as an example, where you got 10 countries and another 36 have officially applied, the majority of human population, when you add in the Belt Road Initiative and the Shanghai Cooperation Organization and the Eurasian Economic Union, you're talking 85, 90% of the world, not to mention all the hard commodities, soft commodities, and go on and on and on about that. But you're incentivizing them to do that. And then they look at this country and say, well, my God, you know, why would we want to hold their bonds or their currency? Look what's happening to that country. They're losing their identity. They're falling apart. They're third world in the way they're behaving and their elections and their judicial system. And is it too stupid to be stupid, or is that what Jared Bernstein wants? And, you know, so what happens? Option number three, find a villain. Those sons of bitches, Xi Jinping and Putin and OPEC, how could they do that to us? And they dump dollars. And when OPEC says, listen, guys, you signed an executive order to go green. We appreciate everything you've done for us for the last 50 years. By the way, as a side note, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia just said China was their most important trading partner in oil last year and for the next 50. Those words were chosen carefully. It was 50 years ago we signed the Petro deal. And now we're going green. So they're going to say, hey, guys, listen, we appreciate it. And they'll do this once they have critical mass, when they have enough. They already have three of the four largest nuclear arsenals, larger GDP, larger swath of human population, more of the commodities, all that stuff. But they'll say, you know what? Thanks for the memories, guys. We appreciate it very much. But you guys are going green. We don't necessarily align ideologically. We don't really like what you've done to our BRICS members with Iran and Russia by sanctioning and now talking of confiscating. So we've decided to take other forms of payment for oil. And bang, just like that, brother, just like that, every country on the planet that's had to own dollars, everyone, for 50 years to buy oil, as 95% of all oil sales were done in dollars over the last 50 years, we'll dump them, just like the last scene of Trading Places where the Duke brothers are saying, sell, Mortimer, sell, as he's having a heart attack and watching his fortune disappear. Everyone will dump dollars, which will hit our shore. And when those dollars hit our shore, they create hyperinflation. And what is the byproduct of hyperinflation? Interest rates that parabolically spike to meet the loss of purchasing power of the inflation. You can't have 30% inflation and 5% interest rates or your currency dies. So now, stocks, bonds, real estate, the banks, the insurance companies, and the dollar all simultaneously in the Klaus Schwab moment collapse. And it was those sons of bitches who did it. But guess what? Have no fear. Lael Brainard is here. Who's Lael Brainard? The number two at the Economic Advisory Committee for the White House. She was at the Treasury for a good amount of time and then was number two under Powell at the Fed recently, where she ran point with MIT in the development of the new central bank digital currency that Biden fast-tracked by executive order. And she ran point on the new FedNow program, which came out a few months ago, which is being piloted, which is Venmo and Zelle on steroids, backed by the Fed, which will take the place of checks and wires in no time. And if, God forbid, Trump doesn't win, she will be the next Treasury Secretary as a modern monetary theorist. So how do you get people, anyone listening to your show is like, I ain't taking that crap. I'm not taking that CBDC. Well, under this scenario, I bet you would, where everyone in the world dumps dollars and treasuries and interest rates spike to the moon. And it's their fault for doing this, those sons of bitches. And then what happens? Everything collapses. But Lael Brainard says, well, Sean, all you need to do, buddy, I know your real estate's blown up and your insurance policies and your bank accounts and your stocks and your bonds. And well, it's all a disaster. But guess what? We're modern monetary theory now. We're going to issue a new system. Sign on the dotted line, take the CBDC, and we will make you whole. So everything I just said up to that point right there is factual. Now, could it be too stupid to be stupid, or are they just that stupid? And I will tell you, yes, I believe they are trying to take us off a cliff because they know we are broke, we are insolvent, and the best way to do it would be to weaponize the dollar, to lose the reserve status or the petro status, and then make our country so divided and so screwed up that it is, you have no resistance and unity, the United States, not anymore, no unity to stand up and push back. Now, God bless the states that are pushing back, that are saying, no, we're going to allow, you know, gold and silver to be legal tender. There is still a resistance, but yeah, man, I don't like what I see, brother. I really, truly don't. And I do believe it is intended. It's just too stupid to be stupid.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And it's being done on purpose. And look, I interview Todd Callender every other week, he and Dr. Lee Vliet. And Greg Reese at InfoWars just did an excellent report about the fact that nobody in this administration has a signed, notarized oath of office. Okay, this is treason from within. It's all being done by design. I could not agree with you more. And the wheels are literally coming off the bus. We're witnessing the fall of the empire. This is how bad it's getting, guys. From Cat Turd over on Twitter, just so you're clear, the Uniparty in Washington, D.C. are giving the FBI the power to spy on you for any reason without a warrant, but they exempted themselves from the same law.
Wow.
Dude, they're such scumbags, both the right and the left. And I was going to play this clip from you. This came into my Twitter feed today, but you basically just said everything I wanted to play in that clip. But here's another clip I wanted to play for you specifically, Andy, and for the audience. The Great Awakening is 100% real. And whereas I was saying 10 years ago, I used to sign off all of my videos by saying, at this point in human history, friends, it's clear that the real war is the international criminal banks versus humanity. Well, listen to this gentleman over at Simply Bitcoin, an excellent channel over on YouTube. The Great Awakening is very real.
What's come to light over the years is that these institutions, these very powerful institutions, like the IMF, which coincidentally is located in Washington, D.C., it's coincidence, like the World Bank, perhaps maybe they aren't who they say they are. Perhaps they aren't doing the things that they tell the world that they're supposed to be doing. Perhaps their mechanisms of control, perhaps their mechanisms to enslave these countries. And perhaps that's why the IMF had such a hard time accepting that Bitcoin was going to be made legal tender. And all the things that they predicted was going to happen to El Salvador never happened to El Salvador. And another thing, in Argentina, they gave Argentina another bailout. And one of the conditions of that bailout was that the government of Argentina had to de-incentivize the population to use alternatives to their local fiat currency, even though the current country was suffering through 150% inflation. So again, I'm going to pass it on to you guys. Who is the IMF? What is the IMF really about? Who is the IMF really watching out for? Is it the people of the world, or is it themselves? Or perhaps maybe it's the U.S. government. Perhaps, maybe that's a very tough statement. But I don't know, man. Like, I gotta say, keep Nayib Bukele, keep doing your thing, man. You're an inspiration to the rest of the region. Opti and I just went there. I feel the energy. I feel the positivity.
I'll pause it there. So he's talking about El Salvador, President Bukele, who made Bitcoin legal tender. The country's flourishing. Max Kaiser moved down there. He's got the ear of the president. Big things are happening around the world as nation states and human beings wake up to the weaponization of the U.S. dollar and the weaponization of the fiat printing presses across the globe, Andy. And, you know, we've got three answers: physical gold, physical silver, and Bitcoin, in my opinion.
Couldn't agree more. I just did an interview with Natalie Burnell and said basically the exact same thing. And one of the biggest bones of contention that I have is that, you know, people believe that Bitcoin and gold have to be mutually exclusive of one another, that it's one ideology or the other. It shouldn't be. They should be complementary to one another. They both come into the door for the same reason: the understanding of what's happening to the system, the coercion, the manipulation, the loss of privacy and the loss of purchasing power, the loss of our hard-earned savings through inflation. And so I told Natalie and said, look, you know, I am not the same. I don't have the same conviction with Bitcoin that I do with precious metals, not even close to it, but I'm also not naive enough to ignore it completely. And so for 34 years, every 2 weeks, as a promise to my father when I started this company with him as barely a 20-year-old kid, that I'd buy something every 2 weeks. I've done that for 34 years. I've never missed a 2-week period of buying gold and silver ever in 34 years. But over the last several months, I have been adding little bits of Bitcoin to it so that I'm not regretful, so that I don't look back and say, why were you such an idiot? And so I just want people to understand that, yeah, I own a precious metals company and I believe very, very much in precious metals, gold and silver. But I think there is a lot to be said for any asset that allows you, you know, decentralization, allows you to hold it yourself. Because one of the things I truly do believe is that counterparty risk is going to be incredibly pervasive. And, when I buy Bitcoin, I'm not even buying it to get wealthy. I'm buying it because it allows me to get out of the system and to control an asset in my own possession that is not simultaneously someone else's liability. And I'm all for it. And I couldn't agree with them more. You look at the IMF, which is a Western based system. It was interesting. In 2020, they had a paper on their website saying, we want a new Bretton Woods. We want a new system. But where he talks about enslaving, you know, the IMF is a 150 countries from around the world, and they go around and they make loans to developed nations and pretty much do enslave them. The difference between the IMF and what, like the Belt Road Initiative or what the BRICS are trying to do, is China is going in a cooperative manner, and they go in and they build roads and bridges and maritime channels and oil wells and refineries and gold and silver mines, and allow these countries in a complementary way, non-coercive, to industrialize themselves, to pull their natural resources out of the ground. And yes, there's obviously a benefit to China, but they're doing it in a way that is mutually beneficial. And you're right. I think, you know, it's interesting too, regarding the IMF and talking about currencies. Kristalina Georgieva, the head of the IMF, just came out and said, if you issue a CBDC and it's not pegged to something, it's fiat. And that's one of the reasons I believe that if indeed we do see a central bank digital currency, the only way to make it work is to peg it to gold or something like it. Now, you know, gold is the only other tier one reserve asset. And as reclassified by the BIS in 2019, and all the central banks are buying it at hand over fist at levels we've never seen. And it almost seems now, with the arbitrage spigot turned up in Shanghai, where silver's $3 an ounce higher and gold 60, 70 bucks an ounce higher, they are really starting to control the price on COMEX. And to make it short, in an environment where yesterday morning silver opened up limit up 7% in China and triggered stops, and these people are buying hand over fist 17 straight months in a row, where Bank of Montreal analysts say they're way understating the amount that they have. They're the largest producers, they're the largest accumulators. They're looking at it this way. Now, the only issue, and maybe you can shed some light on this with me, Sean, I mean, I guess it would have to be an erasing of the entire system. I don't understand. The only part that I don't understand is how would Bitcoin be used as a currency in the system we have right now, because it is decentralized? How would they ever allow decentralization to work with a central bank? I mean, I guess basically the people who are saying this is, in my understanding, that there are people who believe the central bank has to disappear. And I don't even know the question. Is there a central bank of El Salvador, or is there not?
That's a really good question. I think El Salvador is still on the U.S. dollar. So they're beholden to the same system that we're beholden to here as Americans. Your question is a good one about Bitcoin. What I like about Bitcoin is that it is viewed by this government as property. And therefore, according to Michael Saylor, it's like buying a city block in New York City in 1900. There's only so many of them, so you want to get a piece of it. And some people would say Bitcoin is a hedge. There's actually a fantastic video, a fantastic presentation called Bitcoin is Not a Hedge. It's so much more than that. I'll try to remember to link that below, guys. But I want to turn our attention to silver and gold specifically, because here's what's really frightening. You mentioned that student loan debt is one of the biggest assets on the balance sheet of our government. Are you kidding me? The Federal Reserve refuses to provide records of foreign gold holdings. This news broke on April 5th, Friday, April 5th. Weeks after Federal Chair Jerome Powell evaded a sitting congressman's questions about the central bank's foreign gold holdings, the Fed also declined to comply with a Freedom of Information Act for records about such holdings. Our government cannot be trusted. The gold probably is not there. It's all been hypothecated and rehypothecated, and God knows, maybe the Rothschilds took it all. But here's what I wanted to ask you about. The good news is that this paper charade is finally, in my view, coming to an end. I listened to a broadcast you did with Bix Weir. I think he agrees. I think maybe you agree. Silver stocks are plummeting as the LBMA's silver stack hits a six-year low, signaling a tightening market. I think that that's a friendly way to say the gold and the silver are being drained, because everybody knows the jig is up. Andy, what is the deal with silver right now?
So, and I'm going to read something to you in a minute that I think really will help understand that. But, you know, first of all, when you talk about the COMEX is almost a pretend market, and at least it always was until now. And when I say pretend, look, if I have 1,000 ounces of gold in my warehouse, and I want to hedge it, I'll sell 1,000 ounces on COMEX. And the way that I would do that would be to buy 10 or sell 10 contracts of COMEX gold. Now, the way that it was originally designed in 1974, right after President Ford made it legal again, was you know, just this, that, you know, we can rehypothecate all of these contracts because no one ever stands for delivery. And back then, you know, China and India, these massive consumers were third world. And since no one's going to stand for delivery, they're just using it to hedge, most, you know, producers and whatnot using it to hedge. We can just rehypothecate the crap out of it. And it's pretend. But even better, the people who buy it can pretend to buy it, because all you need to do is have lots of margin in your account. If you have a lot of margin in your account, and in this case, about $8,000 controls a 100-ounce gold contract right now, maybe a little more, but right around there. And so, you know, the trade is just a few bucks. So if I want to buy 10 contracts, I just have to have, you know, $80,000, $90,000 in my margin account. I'm not spending it. The trade won't cost very much at all. So I pretend to buy it. They pretend to give it to me. And now they can sell enormous amounts to create a perception of reality, to control the price. Well, that doesn't work anymore, because now, like you're saying, they are using the Western suppression against us, and they are draining the LBMA. Basically, what is left in the LBMA belongs to the ETFs and to bullion vault. There's very, very, very little left based on those numbers that is not already encumbered. And same thing is true with the COMEX. And, you know, the COMEX has delivered about 400 million ounces in the last 2 years. It's kind of interesting to note that that is what India imported over the last 2 years. But wait, India's just reported that their silver import surged by 260% in February. They imported 2,932 tons of silver in January and February of this year, compared to 3,625 tons for all of 2023, which was a record. So they're using the suppression of the Western market to drain the exchanges. But I want to read to you something that I've been saying for the last 4 years. And one of the things that has given me a little notoriety in this industry is talking about the BRICS. And I've been right about it. And it freaks me out that I've been right about it and how fast it is accelerating. And I've been saying for a very long time that they have been using the Western suppression. They know this to drain the exchanges. Because in 2020, Sean, when you look at the COMEX, they published something called the Commitment of Traders Report. And it typically only showed two traders. It's the positioning of the largest traders. On one end, it would be the specs, which are the hedge funds. And on the other end would be the commercials. Commercial banks, Citi, Goldman, JP. One would go long, the other would go short, almost in a zero-sum game. And then in 2020, out of nowhere, poof, you have this group, this new reportables group on the Commitment of Traders called the Others. And these are sovereign wealth funds that took more silver that year off the exchange than we had seen in 10 years previous. More gold off that year than the Bank of Japan held in their official numbers. These are very sophisticated traders that have been draining the exchanges. And I said, they are using, like a jiu-jitsu move would be to use your opponent's leverage against them. So listen to this. You know, for 3 years, I've been saying that they're going to issue a common settlement currency at some point, and which they will. I mean, you don't have to right now. You just trade in local currencies and then put, instead of dollars like they're doing, and then put the excess into gold instead of treasuries like they're doing, and you start to destabilize not only the settlement status of the dollar, but also the reserve status. But listen to this. He's talking about this. It just came out. It was written by, or it was an interview by one of the Russian finance ministers, and it was in TASS, I think is the name of it. It's a Russian news agency that I read once in a while. But he came out and said, look, the idea of the currency is there will be two baskets, one basket of national currencies involved and another basket of commodities. It'll be in digital form, which means, of course, it will sidestep the SWIFT system. It'll use the Project Mbridge, which allows a cross-border payment outside the SWIFT. But here's where it gets interesting. He says the big part is price. He says for the moment, price is determined by Western speculation. We produce these commodities, we consume them, but we do not have our own price mechanism, which will balance supply and demand. And during the COVID panic, the price of oil fell to nearly zero. Now, we know that's wrong. It went to negative 40. But he says it's impossible to make any strategic planning for economic development if you do not control prices of basic commodities. Here's the kicker. price formation with this new currency should get rid of Western exchanges of commodities. And it's no different than the BRICS grain exchange that just came out saying global prices are determined by the Chicago Commodity Exchange, and we seek to move away from trading grain in U.S. dollars. Well, what did China just do? They just canceled massive grain contracts with Australia and with the United States in favor of Moscow and in favor of Brazil, who sell their corn, their soybeans, and their grain to China for yuan and then immediately convert it into gold, which is what? The only other tier one reserve asset on the Shanghai Gold Exchange. And so they understand what is happening. They understand that, hey, this is how we beat them. We beat them at their own game. We suppress the crap out of the price like they're doing with levered futures contracts and stand for delivery. And we stand for delivery in London. We stand for delivery in Chicago. We do exchange for physical, and we will drain the exchanges. And that is exactly what they're doing. And so, yeah. And then when you see the arbitrage spigot turned up in Shanghai, where silver's $3 an ounce higher right now and gold about $70, any of the stupid traders who have the ability to access all three markets will arbitrage the hell out of whatever is not nailed down. They'll buy in the West and deliver in the East. And then when all of the commodities are there, by the way, you know, they bought the LME, the London Metals Exchange, that being the BRICS, I mean, the Chinese did, which is not the LBMA, but the LME is like copper and steel and all of the base metals. So they're buying up all the commodities, like the soft commodities, like corn and soybean and wheat, which JP Morgan says they own the lion's share of across the globe. Then they buy the entire London Metals Exchange and are now holding the metals that are where they're warehousing them, those that are traded on the LME, they're warehousing them in China. They're controlling all of those. They're striking deals in South America and Africa to build oil refineries and take all the nickel and the gold and the silver and the platinum and all the rare earth metals, and they're doing that in Africa. And then they drain the exchanges. And after all of the stuff is nailed down, when no one is stupid enough to use the Western price to sell it, guess what? Bang, they're going to switch to a new pricing mechanism in Shanghai or in Moscow or in Dubai. And it will be based upon real life prices, not manipulative prices that can be rehypothecated a million times over to create an illusion of dollar supremacy. When these commodities, which we're told gold and silver are commodities, they're not, they're wealth, but the rest of the things are. And I'll go back again to Zoltan Pozsar, who said this is Bretton Woods 3. Bretton Woods 1, when we took over for the pound sterling after World War II. Bretton Woods 2, loosely, when we became the petrodollar in 73. And now Bretton Woods 3, a system that will be all about commodities and transparency, where you perhaps use gold, which is the only other tier one reserve asset in the world, and have it married with blockchain technology to have immutability and veracity to show and have it audited independently that indeed these baskets, not only of currencies, but also of commodities, like the only other tier one asset in the world, are indeed there. But the first step of the process is to accumulate the crap out of it. And that first thing that you showed in 2017, that's what got me on this path, because out of nowhere, the German Bundesbank said, look, we've been trying to get our, and this was in the New York Times, we've been trying to get our gold back from the U.S. for 3 years now. Give us back our damn gold. We want our gold back. If it's really there, why can't we get it immediately? Well, right after that happened, Sean, the Bank of Austria, Poland, Turkey, Hungary, the Czech National Bank, the Dutch National Bank, they all did the same thing. They repatriated their gold from the New York Fed, which, by the way, of all of the member Fed banks, it's only held at the New York Fed. And they did the same thing from the London Metals Exchange or from the Bank of England. So I'm sure they don't want to tell how much is there, because a lot of it got taken out already. And if indeed they have been using other people's gold to suppress the price, you know, they're going to have a price to pay. So it's interesting. And if you really are transparent and got nothing to hide, then why ignore even a Freedom of Information Act? It's despicable. It truly is. And where there's smoke, there's fire, brother.
Yeah, and the wheels are coming off the bus and the world is waking up. I hate to sound like a broken record, but
you're not.
This is all part of the Great Awakening, okay? Because yeah, this spark of liberty seems to be spreading around the globe as people realize that, okay, the dollar's been weaponized, and the U.S. government now, the only product they seem to sell is war.
Yep.
Endless war. And how do they fund that war? With a fiat printing press in debt. So when the world pulls away from that, the whole system collapses under its own weight. And I don't wish it. You know, I don't wish it. I've told you that I don't wish for a collapse of our dollar because of what is going to happen to people. But at this point in human history, again, the U.S. government is out of control. And I just wanted to ask you three more things in the 5 or 10 minutes we have left. I want to ask you about price action. Once the system does collapse, based on everything you just described, silver at 28, then I just want to say one more thing about Bukele and Bitcoin. And then I want to ask you, what if Biden, quote unquote, wins? What if they steal another one? Okay, price action. Silver basically leaped from 22 or 23 to 28 just in the very recent past. And I think it's because the system of control is collapsing.
Yep.
What do you see happening with silver for the rest of this year or in the years to come based on this collapsing system of manipulation and control?
Well, I want to answer that in kind of an off-color way in the respect that, you know, the military-industrial complex is a very big, powerful engine, right? And I've been saying for years that there's 500 ounces of silver in the tip of a Tomahawk cruise missile. And I said that 2 years ago in a conference in Vancouver. And there was a man in the audience who I got to know a little bit and was talking to him. And he told me he was a consultant for the Department of Defense. And we talked, cool guy. And I came back to that conference. It was the Vancouver Resource Investment Conference. And I would encourage people to check it out. It's a great conference, by the way, put on by Jay Martin.
Can I ask you something, though? That 500 ounces sounds really high. Is that true? Is that accurate?
Well, so I said that, and he came up to me this year. And he said, Andy, he says, what I'm telling you is declassified. I actually developed the Patriot missile. And he showed me all sorts of pictures of how it was coming out of the water and on a platform in California. He said, you know, the biggest problem we had was having it fire up vertically instead of horizontally out of like a submarine tube because of the guidance, blah, blah, blah. He said, but you were right. He says, there's between 13 and 15 kilos in the tip of every Tomahawk. And now I find it very interesting when you look at the Silver Institute numbers, they do not mention military. They talk about solar panel, they talk about green and digital, they talk about investment, they talk about recycling, but nowhere in there is the mention of military. Now ask yourself this question: with all of the munitions that are being sold to fund wars around the world and that we stockpile, why do you think one bank like Bank of America and before that JP Morgan would be short 1 billion ounces on the COMEX? Why would silver of every commodity traded have the largest concentrated short position of any commodity traded on the exchange? Why is India buying 400 million ounces? And now in January and February, their numbers go up 256%. So the point of it is that silver is a whole hell of a lot more important than they want us to believe. And the manipulation and the leverage on COMEX controlling it, I believe, has a lot to do with the military-industrial complex and their desire to wage war and build high-tech weaponry. And if without silver, you're dead in the water. And so I just wanted to throw that out there. So how high will silver go? I think higher than anyone thinks possible. It has been held down like a coiled spring. It's coming out of the ground right now, Sean, at a ratio of 7 to 1. It is found in nature in a form called epithermal, like your skin is epidermis. It's very near the surface. And so the big deposits were found decades ago. And if you look at 1 billion ounces that came to market last year, 300 million or so came from just companies that mine silver, because that's it. That's too hard to find the big deposits. They were found forever ago. 300 million from the silver producers, a tiny bit from the recycling community, and the rest from byproduct of companies mining like copper or gold, and they stumble across it. So it's a 250 million ounce shortfall between supply and demand and something like that the year before. So it is an asset that is depleting in nature. It was 16 to 1 geologically for 5,000 years. You talk to Keith Neumeyer, a really good dude, he'll tell you he owns both gold and silver companies, and they indeed, he will say globally, it's 7 to 1. So it's coming out of the ground now from 16 to 1. It's been exploited. The big deposits found now 7 to 1, and yet it's priced at 85 to 1, and yet you have these massive short positions held by the commercial banks who are doing the bidding of who? The government, the military-industrial complex, I don't know. But ask yourself, it's as dumb as a mud wall in a rainstorm. Why the hell would you be short that kind of volume? The largest concentrated short position of any commodity traded is in silver. And then ask yourself, why is it not listed in the Silver Institute numbers? And you can put it all together using Occam's razor. Silver will go higher than anyone thinks possible. The sky is the limit with silver. And I don't know how high, what it looks like by the end of the year. I just know that there's a vested interest to not let it run because, you know, I would say the people pulling the strings behind the military-industrial complex are probably the same people pulling the strings behind the government. This is a big deal for them. But ultimately, I think you can only manipulate a market over an extended period of time, a real long extended period of time, by pushing it in the direction that it is going. Forever, no one focused on this. Forever, these things weren't an issue, but forever is gone. And now all of a sudden it's a whole new awakening and the world, this entire Southern Hemisphere gets it. And they are draining the exchanges using the Western suppression. And this will put banks and hedge funds out of business. I urge everyone to go and Google Chris Marcus, Arcadia Economics, Bart Chilton interview. Bart Chilton used to be the former head of the CFTC, the Commodity Future Trading Commission, the commodity police, where he did an interview with Chris and admitted this, that Bear Stearns went bankrupt because the price of silver went from 9 to 21 or 12 to 21. They had the largest short position ever. JP Morgan inherited it, took it over. He admitted this. And he also admitted that JP Morgan was told, Jamie Dimon said to Hank Paulson and Bernanke, look, we will be in position of in violation of position limits with our own shorts. And they said, no problem. You got a certain period of time to clean that up. And that's fine. And at the end of that period, Bart Chilton's saying this to Chris Marcus. He said, I never heard him say it before. And he went back and he said, yeah, you know, I went to my superiors and said, JP Morgan, in fact, hasn't lowered their short position. They increased it. They need to be prosecuted. They're in violation of antitrust law and of our agreement. They need to be prosecuted. And he said, Chris, I was told to back down. It was a political decision. Well, Bart Chilton died a week later. Now, I'm not saying there's a coincidence, but what I'm saying is the head of the CFTC admitted this shit. He admitted it. And so when you talk about political decision, when you talk about massive short positions in silver, when you talk about what could happen, it put one of the biggest banks in the world out of business very quickly. And when you try to hold back a global demand from countries, that sovereign nations like China, like Russia, like India, you are messing with a whole different ball of wax that they've never had to deal with before. But times are changing, like you said. So I don't know how high it goes, brother, but I do believe higher than anyone thinks even possible.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And I really feel in my heart of hearts that buying silver today at 28, 30 bucks an ounce is akin to buying Bitcoin at 360 in 2015. I really believe that. I haven't done the percentage gains on that, but maybe it's even a better deal. Silver, I still believe, is the most undervalued tangible asset on planet Earth because of the manipulation. So amidst the hyperinflation that I think is coming, yeah, Katie, bar the doors on price action. Nobody could possibly guess when priced in USD in the coming years. All right, two more quick questions. We've only got 5 or 6 minutes left. I just wanted to make a comment about Bukele. You asked about Bitcoin. One of the important things that I don't know if I mentioned it or not in this interview. I think maybe I did. But one of the things he did that is so important is he made Bitcoin legal tender. And what that does is it gives the population a way to opt out of dollars in the weaponization of dollars. That doesn't mean they've abandoned dollars in totality. But because Max Kaiser and his wife describe President Bukele as a philosopher king, and if you've listened to any of his interviews, he's uncorruptible. He says it, and then he carries out strategies that really prove that. The first thing he did is basically toss out the whole government, all the useless people, all the people on the take, they all got fired, and he's turned the country around. It makes one wonder what could happen with our country if we actually had a president who wanted to make the country great again. Because the one we have right now is a complete and total traitor. Got to show you guys just one more thing. This from Chris Martinson. Once is an accident, twice is coincidence, but three times is enemy action. Joe Biden drained our strategic petroleum reserve down to 17 days of supply. And on the 9th of April, he canceled the refill order. Friends, Jeez. We're being brought down by design. Yep. And there's Bukele. He made Bitcoin legal tender. Okay. I'm coming back to you. Here's my last question for you. In the just few minutes we have left, if Biden, quote unquote, wins in November, if they steal another one, what's your game plan? What would you advise? What do you think is coming for our nation? I don't think It leaves me speechless. It really does. If they steal another one, I mean, it's communist Marxist manifesto on steroids. It's game over for our republic. And then we're looking at civil war. We're looking at red states versus blue states. It's a mess. What do you see happening?
I see exactly that. I mean, God forbid, everything that this country stands for will be immediately exposed to the world that we're a fraud and that we are a third world country, a banana republic. We are already at almost 130% debt to GDP by all measurements. We're broken. We're insolvent. And the one thing that we're supposed to hang our head on is the finest judicial and electoral system in the world, and law and order, and all of those things have been thrown to the wind. And that to me is more bothersome than anything, what's happening to this country inside it. And if indeed that happens, I think that it will be an unsafe place to be. And there will be a civil war. You'll see states like Texas secede. You'll see these things. And I don't know, man. I can't even imagine it, because I can't imagine how anyone, I mean, take your political aspirations. I know everyone listening to this, most people probably have loathing for the current administration. But I mean, if this was your father, Biden, I mean, how can anyone look at this guy and say he's got his wits about him? How can anyone say this guy is equipped to run this country? And what it really says is that he isn't running the country, and it's factions behind the country that want to bring it down. And if it does happen, Sean, God help us all. I mean, I don't even know how to answer that question. I don't even want to let my mind go there as chicken shit as that sounds. I'm not trying to.
No, it doesn't.
I'm not
doesn't
trying
sound
to
chicken
avoid
shit
it
at all.
I don't know what. I can't imagine what. I'll tell you what. You better have guns and ammunition. You better realize that this country's on the verge of really blowing up if that happens.
Yeah. Look, I don't think it's chicken shit at all. This is the stuff of a Black Mirror episode. I mean, how dystopic this is all getting. And fortunately, the world is waking up, and the best way to make a despot reveal his intentions is to just let him be a despot and a tyrant. And that's exactly what the entire Uniparty is doing in this criminal, criminal, treacherous administration. And the last word I would say about Bukele versus Biden, or Biden versus Trump, philosopher king versus dog king. Okay, this is a joke they're playing on us. This is a humiliation ritual to have this guy in the Oval Office. He is a dog king. If you guys don't know what that is, look it up. That's what he is. All right, that's what he is. Okay, last thing I want to show as we part ways. I sent a text to my son and his fiance today warning them about energy drinks. Did y'all know that Celsius energy drink has cyanide in it? 4 times the safe level for daily intake is in Celsius. So I told them, just remember, this is all eugenics. They're poisoning the food, the water, the air, and yes, the drinks. And today, this is the view. Right now, as we're having this interview, this is the picture I just took outside my window, my second floor window, the sky above our heads, nothing but chemtrails. They're poisoning us. And thank God for states like Tennessee. Tennessee just passed a law banning chemtrails in the state. So, you know, this states' rights thing, it's got some merit. It's got some meat on the bone, and we do stand a chance. Will you tell people how they can get in touch with you guys if they want to shore up their reserves with a
physical? Yeah, and you know, I want to say that SD Bullion, who you work with, has my great respect. They do it the right way. And there are a lot of companies in this country or in this industry that don't do it the right way. I got nothing but respect for SD Bullion and their ownership. And so bear that in mind. And
you're a stand-up guy. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, having a backup plan for your listeners who are happy with SD. You're in good hands there. The best way to reach us is to send an email to info@milesfranklin.com, where our price list is really, really competitive. Maybe more so than just about anyone in the country, or top two or three for sure. We don't publish that. Our website, milesfranklin.com, will have a new website up in June. But the current website, milesfranklin.com, has higher prices, up to a small amount of money you can purchase online. But if you have questions on anything you've heard in this interview, want to talk about precious metals, no obligation, or just want to see our really competitive price list, really competitive, info@milesfranklin.com. Say you heard me on SGT Report, just so I know where you're coming from. And questions, comments, or just want to see the price list, info@milesfranklin.com. And Sean, I got to tell you, man, you are you're as good as they get in this industry. It's a pleasure to be back on with you. And like I was saying before we jumped on, I think the first one I ever did was with Bix Weir. Maybe the second one podcast I ever did was with you all those years ago. And I've always been a fan. You're smart. You're intelligent. You're articulate. You do it the right way. I wish you, your family, and all your listeners nothing but the best in what I anticipate to be a very interesting year. And, you know, that is a Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times. So everyone buckle up, stay well. Thanks for having me, Sean. And I'd love to come back anytime. And I just want to give you my thanks and appreciation for having me here today.
Well, thanks, brother. I really appreciate that very much. You're kind. You're a stand-up guy. We've met personally so many times. You used to live in my area. He escaped to Florida, guys. God bless him.
I did.
A move that was very timely, in my opinion. We'll have to get you back on to talk about homeowners insurance down there, though. My wife and I went down to look at a couple of houses. I know. American Family told us they would not insure one of the houses we looked at. The other one, they said, yes, we'll insure it, but not against wind damage. That's basically a hurricane. It's a mess. It's a mess. All right.
But it's nice when you don't have to pay state income tax, makes up for it, but it's still a drag. So anyways, dude, say the word. I'm back on anytime. In the meantime, I'll be watching you from afar, and please, please, please stay well. And I'll look very forward to picking up right where we left off.
All right. God bless you. Thank you so much.
God bless, bro.
All right. Friends, if you're still with us, thanks so much for tuning in. I'll leave the link below to Miles Franklin and to SD Bullion. And for real news every single day, check us out for free to get the antidote to corporate propaganda 24/7 at sgtreport.com. May God bless you and yours, friends. Bye-bye.
You got to undo the contracts that put you into their jurisdiction. And because they did this to us, they had to provide remedy. So there's a way out, and they'll let you out. Okay. And this is so they don't go to jail. But this is the whole thing, that if you learn it, you actually can undo the things. I call it, it can take the rope around your neck off. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you want to be free, you don't want to pay taxes, this is the answer.